actually in Proverbs, but I want to start this morning by turning to Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell's fire. I just want to not break this down, but just point you out the last phrases there, that when you call someone a fool. And we're going to study more this morning about the fool. Last week we talked about how a fool mocks sin, and we're going to look at more along the line of just what the book of Proverbs says about the fool. But I think you can see from this passage that not only is it a serious matter to call someone a fool, but even more serious or deplorable is to be known as a fool. And Proverbs, as I told you last week, it uses the word fool and fools and foolishness over 80 times. Actually, there's four words in the Hebrew language that are translated fool or foolish in the Proverbs. And I think we ought to look at these just briefly. One in the Hebrew, and of course I can't pronounce Hebrew, but it's pithy, and it's used. One of the places it's used is in Proverbs chapter 9, and verse 6. But it means to, it really is translated, a lot of times it's translated simple. And let's see what it is. It's 15 times translated simple, 2 times simple ones, once foolish and simplicity. And so it has to do with just being simple-minded. In Proverbs 9 and verse 6, it says, forsake the foolish and live, and go in thy way of understanding. And the thing about this word simple-minded, or this word here, it comes from the word to be open-minded. And you can be so open-minded that the wind comes through your brain, blows everything out, I guess. But it's not, you know, we live in a day when everybody says you need to have an open mind. Not everybody, but the world says you need to be open-minded. Well, to be open-minded is to be a fool. We're not open-minded about a lot of things. And there needs to be some strong stands taken. Open-mindedness is not admirable always. It's to be gullible. It's to be a fool. Proverbs 14 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. And that's this word, pethe. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And so the translation really that's used the most of the time, the word simple, is a good word. If you just drop back to 7:7, it says, and behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Of course, this is about being allured by the harlot and going in as an ox goeth forth to be slaughtered. The simple one does. And I think you could think in your own mind about people that you know, and they're just open-minded. They're very simple, being led along, and they're very trusting of what people say, and they are gullible. They believe just about everything that's been said to them. But this guy, actually, I think all of us at one point, and children particularly, are very simple. But the blessing about this type of person is they can be taught, and they can learn. In chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, O you simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be of understanding. And so this possibility for the simple to understand wisdom. And so that's just one word, the simple man. The second word that's used, and it's translated fool 61 times and foolish 90 times for 70 times, and it's the majority of what Proverbs talks about. In Hebrew, it's kisel, and it really has to do with being arrogant, and he's called the fool, and that's the way it's translated. It's not translated any other way, but fool and foolish. The root word means to be sluggish. The root word means to be stupid. If you look in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, Proverbs 1 and 22, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity and your scorners delight in the scorners? The fools hate knowledge. There we have these words used, these different words used, but what we're looking at is the one that says, the fools hate knowledge. This guy, this fool, is one that, you know, you can't give him any knowledge. You can't give him any instruction. You can't help him out because, listen, he's already got it figured out. He's the fool. And he's not instructable. He's got it figured out. In Proverbs 1 and verse 20, the wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice. Let's see. That's not what I wanted. One of the traits is that he doesn't fear the Lord. Look in Proverbs 10:18. He hates knowledge. He doesn't fear the Lord. Proverbs 10:18. He likes to slander other people. Proverbs 10:18. It says, He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. And so he slanders. In verse 23, again the term fool. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. And so to be goofing off, to be causing trouble, to be sinning, to be having sinful activity, it's just a game to him. It's a sport to him. And chapter 14 and verse 16, it says here, a wise man feareth and delighteth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He has no fear. He's sure that he, you know, can handle it. And he's going about as a fool. He doesn't see the consequences. The whole world revolves around him. Look in Proverbs 17 and 16. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? And so he's not going to pay money to listen to someone or buy a book, or he doesn't have even a thought to try to gain knowledge because he has no heart for it. And the reason he has no heart for any gain of knowledge is because he's got it figured out already. And then in verse 24 here, chapter 17, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of the fool are in the ends of the earth. And so he's looking everywhere but where he needs to look. He's a contentious person. In 18 and 16, he says, a man, let's see, that's not the right verse either. 18 and verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. And so he likes to, you know, he likes to disagree. He likes to challenge you. He likes to be contentious. just for the sake of being contentious. And so you know people like that. You know people that are just argumentative. You know people that when you try to tell them something, they're not going to hear it. They already got their idea about it. They can't be convinced. And chapter 13 and verse 20 gives us advice about that. It says in chapter 13, verse 20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And then in chapter 14 and verse 7, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceiveth not in him the lips of knowledge." And so get away from those kind of people. Avoid those kind of people. Don't hang out with them. And then the third word, I'm kind of hurrying here because I want to get on to some more meat. Maybe it's meat. Maybe it's whipped cream. I don't know. But it's evil. I guess that's how you pronounce it. And really, this has to do more with, he's just morally perverse. It has to do with really no morals at all. It's translated 20 times fool and foolish. It's one that despises wisdom again. It's one that's quarrelsome. It's one that's very licentious in his living. And this base word in the Hebrew means he's thick. You ever heard of anybody being thick-headed? That's the fool. He's thick-headed. He's morally perverse. He has no fear of God. Proverbs 1:7. He's overbearing in his attitude. And look in 12:15. It describes this fool. "A way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth to counsel is wise." And so, again, this attitude having it figured out. In chapter 15 and verse 5, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." And then, and there's more verses I could read there, but then the last one, and it's translated a number of ways, 9 times fool, 5 times foolish, a vile person, a foolish man, or a foolish woman, and it's someone that has no common sense. He's the one that says in his heart there is no God. He's closed-minded to reason, and that word is Nabal. Is that familiar to anybody? Who's Nabal? Yep. And the only thing that saved his neck was his wife. But God overruled that too, didn't he? The fool, Nabal, ended up being dead because he wouldn't listen. And so let's just take a checklist. Let's just go through Proverbs. And we're going to take a checklist of some fools. And if you're hanging out with some of these guys, you need to you need to smarten up. All right, the first place we'll go is out of Proverbs here, and go over to Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and chapter 5. And verse 3. Ecclesiastes 5:3, "For a dream cometh through the multitude of business." And so, too much going on in your life, you're dreaming. Susie was telling me about some kind of dream this morning that she couldn't find her shoes, and so she couldn't get to Sunday school class, and so she called Amy to get to teach her Sunday school class because she couldn't find her shoes. And then she thought, well, the Sunday school class today for her little kids is on Bathsheba, and she didn't want Amy having to deal with that because she's going to have to be delicate in talking about Bathsheba. And there's too much business going on in Susie's mind here for the dream cometh through multitude of business. But then look what it says. This is the word kiso. And a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. Ever know anybody like that? He's got an opinion on everything. He's been there and done that. He can give you advice about what you're trained in. He's full of advice, and he's known by his mouth. You know, the Bible, one of these places is going to say even a fool will be considered wise if he keeps his mouth shut. And so too much talking, a very good talker. One of the indications, he's a good talker, or let's just say he's a talker. A fool talks too much. In Proverbs, the verse I alluded to in Proverbs 17 and verse 28. I can't hear pages turning. You must have really soft Bibles. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed as a man of understanding. And so he keeps his mouth shut. The second thing, when he's a talker, he tells everything he knows. Now, in one case, he may not know much, but in another case, you don't need to tell everything you know. You shouldn't tell everything you know. Look in Proverbs 29 and verse 11. Proverbs 29:11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. And so not only when we're looking at this, not only should we be trying to say, you know, that reminds me of James so-and-so, or Paul so-and-so, or Bobby so-and-so, or Mary, but we also should be saying, sometimes I tell too much. Because not only is it helping us to identify fools and to try to help them or to stay away from them, but it's also warnings to say, don't live the life of a fool. Don't take on the qualities of a fool. And sometimes it's just best to keep your mouth shut. Look in 10 and 18. In Proverbs 10. And 18. It says, he that uttereth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. And so he likes to talk. The third thing as a fool is that he's quick tempered. Proverbs 12 and 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. And so it's not necessarily wrong to be angry at some things. And in fact, I'd like to hear a good message on righteous anger, because there are some things in this world we ought to be mad about and angry about, and the way of ours, some of the things that's going on in our government. I mean, it's just kind of finally got to the place where you don't even want to hear any political stuff at all. But he's quick-tempered. And if you're going to hang around people that are quick-tempered, the problem is that this good talker, he tells everything he knows, he's quick-tempered. There's a guy at work, and he's simple in his thinking, more like the one that's the first one we talked about. He could be instructed, But he's just trusting and believes everybody. And we've had some different people come through the food bank, and there'll be some that reach out to him, and really what they were doing, they were just manipulating him. And you know, he was going along, and he was, and what I begin to notice is that he began to take on the exact characteristics, the exact mindset, the exact way, the exact walk, the exact prideful attitude, the exact contempt that the guy he's hanging out with, the guy who was embracing him, and really the guy was actually just manipulating him. And it just makes you so mad. But that's the way simple people are. And when he left, then the whole attitude began to change. But we need to watch hanging out with the foolish. Not only is he quick-tempered, but in Proverbs 20 and verse 3, he likes to meddle. In Proverbs 20 and verse 3, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife. Years ago, a preacher gave me some advice, and he said, there were some qualifications, but he said to me, he said, if God won't fight your battles, you better not fight your own battles. Now, he wasn't saying not to take a stand. There's some things we need to fight for. And, you know, we ought to fight that salvation is by grace. We ought to fight for certain things. But when there's conflict between individuals, when there's conflict over different situations, if God won't fight your battles, you better not. And here, in this passage, it talks about, it's an honor. In verse 3, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife. It's just not worth fighting over. Just leave it go, and you'll be amazed sometimes how that God turns things back on people. But every fool will be meddling. And so, if you have the trait to be poking your nose into other people's business, then just understand. Just understand that sometimes your nose gets punched. Don't be meddling. It's a fool that meddles. And then in Proverbs 18 and verse 6, he's contentious. Proverbs 18 and verse 6 says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. And so he likes to debate. He likes to argue. He likes to be controversial. He's aggressive. He's pushy. And his lips are being contentious. He's unteachable. Again, the one that's translated more the time simple is teachable. But there's a fool that just, you're wasting your time. In Proverbs 1 and 7 it says, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In the New Testament it says of the lost guy, he's without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And so, he's in certain areas, he can't be taught. And then the verse that we read and took a lot of time on last week, they mock sin. And I hope that you got the point last week that there's nothing funny about sin. There's nothing amusing about sin. There's nothing good about sin. Sin can only bring forth a deadening effect. And of course, fools are convinced there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, What I want to think about now then, if these are some traits, and hopefully you don't have these or you're eliminating them out of your life, then how do you deal with the fool? Well, look at Proverbs 26 and verse 4 and 5. And I'm glad Pastor Dimlo's here today because he's going to explain these for us. Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. Here's one of these interesting two verses in the Bible. Verse 4 of Proverbs 26. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. So which is it? Don't answer a fool according to his folly, or answer a fool according to his folly. Well, these words are not really contradictory at all. Well, it's unwise to, in the first verse, where it says in verse 4, it says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be also like unto him. That is, he's not going to listen. He's not going to respond properly. This is what, the note I have here, these verses are complementary and not contradictory. While it is unwise to argue with a fool at his level and to recognize his foolish suppositions, there are occasions when it's best to refute him soundly, lest his foolish opinions seem to be confirmed. And if you look over in Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23. And when he had come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in like will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, which was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not believe him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell thee. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Well, when these people came, they were not seeking an answer. They were seeking to put Jesus between a rock and a hard spot. And Jesus answers them with another question. And he puts it right back on them. And so sometimes fools need to be challenged. And particularly I think that if they're making some kind of statement and there's others there that are listening and can be influenced, they need to be responded to. But look over in Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 6. Luke 23 and 6, I think. We'll look here. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. He was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him many words, but he answered him nothing. Well, he was just trying to use Jesus as a puppet here. He was trying to get some miracle. And Jesus didn't give him any, he didn't even answer him. Do you realize that sometimes the greatest answer, the greatest response, the response that really drives home deeper into the conscience of a person is not to say a thing to him. Just look at him and smile and go on. And it's a mighty powerful answer. And you've not entered in contention. And so that's what this proverb is talking about. In some cases, it needs to be challenged. In other cases, it's not going to do any good at all. You're just going to get into a row. You're just going to get into a debate. And so just let it go. Okay. We should, how should we deal with a fool? Well, we looked at that. How we deal with a fool, we don't deal with them. We avoid them. Stay away from them. Look in Proverbs 14 and verse 7. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. He wants to be contentious. He has these traits that we've talked about, that he utters his mind. Tells everything he knows. He's quick-tempered. He's contentious. He likes to meddle. Well, Proverbs 14 and 7 says this: go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Look in Proverbs 17 and verse 12. This should be something that Alaskans know better than anybody. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Did I read the right verse? Okay. But just think about that. Here's old she-bear, and you went out there being a cowboy, and you roped two cubs, and then she pops her head up over the ditch. You're in big trouble, man. You're in big trouble. But let me tell you something. When a fool comes down the road, you better not mess with them. This is what the Bible's telling. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his follies. Just stay away from them. They're out there. And it seems like they're having lots of babies. They're multiplying in this world. Fools are airplanes. Look in chapter 22 and verse 10. This is kind of a freight train message where you pull it a while and then pull off to the side and quit. So when time's up, tell me I didn't bring my watch that I don't possess. I didn't bring my phone either. Okay. Proverbs 22:10 says, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. And this scorner refers to the fool. He should be cast out. Look in 23 and verse 9. The thoughts of foolishness is sin. Oh, that's 23 and 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Don't waste time on him. Don't make it your occupation to straighten him out. You see, what happens when this verse is telling us, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise thy wisdom of thy words. When we take on that project, we are basically letting ourselves be pulled down to his level. We're acting like a fool ourselves. I have a note here. The fool is exasperating. He's looking for trouble, and he often tempts us to oblige him. Since the fool will spout off and speak his mind, we're tempted to lose our temper with him as well. Proverbs instructs us not to allow him to get the best of us, lest we be lowered to his level. And, people say stuff that you just angers you. Look in chapter 26 and verse 4. This is what we're getting at here. Answer a fool according to his call, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. But let's see. Okay, answer in verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou shalt be likened to him. And then it says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And so that kind of gets back to that, what we talked about before, and it is that verse that we talked about. But he needs to be left alone, and you have to understand what exactly you're dealing with there. And so we don't need to dignify him with an answer. He doesn't need an answer. He's going to be puffed up if you answer him. Okay. One of the things in chapter 18 and verse 6, I'm kind of circling the wagons here. We'll see if we can get them round up here. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Interesting verse. You see, some fools, majority of fools, do not learn from lectures. They don't learn from social programs. The population of FCC would drop dramatically if when a foolish, stupid robbery or stupid act, an act of vandalism takes place, that they do like some of the Asian countries do. You take them wherever you're going to take them and get out the cane and you give them a good beating. That drives home the education process. I go into prison on Thursday night, and Thursday night football is being seen on a television better than I've ever had in my home by the prisoners incarcerated at FCC. There's no pain. It's not got down to 20 and 30 below yet, but when it does, a guy named, I don't know what, if his first name's Cleveland. What's that guy's name? Cleveland's either his first name or last name. He's going to be in prison because that's where he stays warm and he gets 3 meals a day. So he's going to do something on the street, and he'll be back in there. One day he was just standing outside the door hoping something could happen so he'd get back in there. But they don't understand punishment. And the Bible says that there ought to be strokes for the fool's back. A whip for the horse, Proverbs 26:3 says, a whip for a horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. And so we could get on over into even child's discipline, but there's a lot of foolish things that children do. And the lessons that go deep, the lessons that remain, is not, okay now, Rashawn, I told you, don't get into the cookies because it's going to make you a fat little boy. Okay, Mama. And so Joanna goes upstairs, starts sewing, and Rashawn gets in the cookie jar. Because you know what? He's skinny now, but I don't care if I'm a fat little boy. I like cookies. But he cares if his bottom gets warmed, I guarantee you. And so strokes for their back. Okay? Now, in all of that, let me just simply say to you that fools are not without hope. And we shouldn't just concentrate on trying to turn them from their stupidity and their stubbornness and their... But The implications of Proverbs is this. Is that a fool is not going to be changed by just reasoning. He's not going to be changed by shame. And sometimes you can't even change him by beating. In 27:22 it says, though thou shouldest bray as a fool in a mortar among wheat and pestles, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. But he can be changed. And his problem, if you go over to chapter 3, in chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy might, lead not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. You see, the bottom line, in one sense, in a very real and practical sense, every one of us was a fool until we came face to face with our sin and the righteousness of God and salvation. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Look in Proverbs 1 and 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And so, fear of the Lord. In chapter 3 and verse 5, talks about trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And so the problem with the fool is the problem of the heart. And when he gets saved, he becomes a very wise person. Because here's the deal. You know, I mean, don't meddle with the fool. You know, keep silent, you know. But, you know, some of us come from different backgrounds and different raising and better parents or maybe worse parents. But it's my nature when someone confronts me to get right back in their face. It's my nature to have an answer for an answer. It's my nature not to get even, but to get ahead. And listen, the only thing that keeps me from being a fool, and I mean this with the greatest sincerity I can say, the only thing that keeps me from being a fool on a daily basis is the grace of God. And so, don't play the part of the fool. Rely upon the grace of God. Help people. You have to understand this, is that there's people out there in this world whose mom and dads were fools. Whose grandma and grandpa were fools. Whose great-grandma and great-grandpa were fools. And their children are fools. And it comes generation after generation after generation, all the way back to Adam. What a fool. He knew what God said. Yet, you know, he was going to take the fruit that Eve pointed out to him. He was a fool. But thank God that we can be saved. And God becomes unto us. I forget what passage, maybe in 1 Corinthians, but God becomes to us wisdom. Jesus does. And we don't have to be fools. And so we've chased a lot of dogs here and been over a lot of territory. But examine your lives and look at your friends and see people who you hang out with. And there's certain people at work. You need to say, hello, how you doing? You need to try to point them to the Lord. But there's some people that you can't help. And to try to change them or try to argue with them, to try to show them how that their reasoning is faulty, is an act of futility. And you just need to move on. And you keep your mouth shut. But also, some of these things that you look at, maybe you just ought to go Google on your word processor, fools from Proverbs, or get your concordance, or just start reading Proverbs and look at how many times fools are mentioned. If God says something one time about something, we ought to listen. If he says it twice, we really ought to listen to three times. But when fools are mentioned over and over and over and over, one of the things it says in the Proverbs is that it's a sad thing. I forget the exact wording, but it's pointing out it's a very sad thing for a parent to raise a fool. It's a discouragement to the parents. Well, God don't need any of his children being fools. Because, you see, if it's a sad thing for a parent to have a fool, it reflects right back upon the parent. And if we play the role of a fool, it reflects right back upon our Savior. Okay? You're dismissed.